Well, welcome everybody. Just as a reminder, the meeting is going to be recorded, and the recording will be on the website. So we're first going to look at Zom Bethesda, the first project that came to you on the first meeting. Now they're in for site plan review, and if you could talk a little bit about how you're responding to the comments and make that priority of your presentation as well, that'd be great.
Okay.
So we'll have about a 10 to 15 minute presentation, and then if there are any comments from the public, and then we'll have a larger discussion.
Should we do introductions first? Or
if you'd like to, yes, please.
Okay. I'm Heather Delapolsky, the land use attorney. I will speak very, very briefly at the beginning, and then you don't want to hear from me again, so.
Chris Love with Zom, the developer.
John Hender, our architect. Carl McCoy, architect.
Paul Mortensen, senior urban designer in the director's office here.
Tree Rodriguez, Parker Rodriguez, Nescape Architecture.
Andy Tchaikowski, SKNI Architecture.
Damon Orbona with Nova Ventures, developer on the panel.
George Staub, architect.
Roger Wu, landscape architect.
Elsa Heisel McCoy, Area 1.
I'm Naomi Spinner, Sunbelt resident.
Laura Shipman, liaison to the panel.
Stephanie DeCall, Area 1.
Leslie Howard, Area 1.
Responding to Area 1.
Robert Kronberg, Area 1. Matt Boulder, Area 1, and Neighbor Viewer of the project.
All right, so I'll do the wave for you, Matt. So I'll just be really brief, and then Andy Tchaikowski and Trini will really talk for our team, and we hope to have a really great discussion with you all, which I think is what we actually had when we were in with the DAP. The very first meeting that you had, which I think was back in mid-November or so, so I guess other than kind of the Marriott and the Bethesda Police Station was sort of fast-tracked ahead of everybody, I guess we're sort of the first project that's come full circle through the DAP process under the new Bethesda Overlay Zone. And we are very excited to be here. I think this project has come a long way. I don't know if you all recall, but we had a good deal of concern from our immediate neighbors when we were going through sketch plan, and we managed to work out all of those concerns. We're actually all pretty good friends now. And I think this project, it was well received by the DAP. The planning board was very pleased with it, too. At sketch plan, obviously, there were some things that you all wanted to see, primarily a bit more of a differentiation between the north and south portions of the building, which we've continued to work on as we go through the process. But I think overall, folks are very excited about this. We're very excited about this. And it's come such a long way in terms of community relations. So we are very happy to be here and to get to planning board in July. And we look forward to all of your comments today. So I'll turn it over to Andy and Trini to take us away.
Thanks, Heather. This is Zom Bethesda. We're very excited about it. Zom's been acquiring these homes. There's 8 single-family homes on Arlington. between Moreland and Edgemoor. We're a stone's throw, two blocks away from the metro. So, and we've, settled on 60 feet of height with the planning with staff here. So that's kind of baked into the Bethesda plan. So, and obviously we're across the street from the elementary school playing fields. It's, again, just, we hold the 3 sites, Moreland, Arlington, and Edgemoor, and then we have this sort of circuitous back property line. As I go,
Control L usually works.
Oh, okay.
I can roll this way too.
Read your location.
Where is it? That's weird. I go too big. Anyway, sorry about that. So again, these are the 8 sites. Currently, there's 8 existing curb cuts. So we're going to be cleaning up this property. If you probably know, the Edgemont next door is also in. For site plan, but I think what the opportunity here is that this is almost a whole city block in downtown Bethesda, and the big idea here is really from a landscape and urban design point of view is really cleaning up sort of the streetscape, because we have pretty rough streetscape on all sides, and there's a really great opportunity here to redo all of that. And Trini can talk to that in a minute. But our site, particularly with all these curb cuts and sort of the harsh condition, has been a big focus of what we want to do here. Just to recap everybody, these are the single-family homes. They were here at one point. Sort of their time has come and gone, I would say. They're all condominiums, like small offices right now, and really not sort of in scale with the rest of downtown Bethesda. So I just wanted to point out this site plan. We did put our building in context in the site plan. So I think everyone can see sort of how we're responding to the neighborhood. You know, we've gotten very good reviews on these courtyards on Arlington Road. We think that does a nice job of breaking up the mass. While it is an entire city block, we think that the scale of the building responds accordingly. We're in scale with all the buildings around us, and we kind of, because of what we've done architecturally, we've kind of broken the building into two pieces, and the cadence of the architecture, the rhythm of the bays sort of responds to the townhouses on the south side, and then the scale of the building responds accordingly to the larger buildings as it scales up into the Woodmont Triangle. Just quickly, this is a composite site plan.
So, just very briefly, because the public space, as you know, it's something that is being done off-site, so we're contributing to that. But the big contribution of this project was really, just as Andy mentioned, is the consolidation of all that streetscape, and actually, along with the project on Edgemont, it's going to, basically complete an entire block. The conditions here, you saw the picture, is the street, the sidewalk is right at the edge of the curb, so we're pushing that in. We're creating, green, continuous planting strip, sidewalk, some green buffer. A couple of small notes for seating. All of this, as you know, it's across from the elementary school. There's a lot of kids and parents that actually walk to the school and move through here, so this is really creating a much more pedestrian-friendly environment. The other thing that should be pointed out is we have two lobbies. This is the main lobby along Moreland. Amenities are located around this edge, which are activating this front edge. We're continuing, and then the second lobby, it's a convenience lobby along Edgemont, and it's really sort of a metro convenience lobby, so people can go out. We're still preserving a passageway through it's a mid-block sort of connector. It's not a public space, but it is, open. And then we also brought the streetscape across this frontage as well, in front of the Christopher, and connecting to their sidewalk and then internally. In this sort of corner of the site, the amenities, as I described, sort of come out. So we have an outdoor amenity that links into the passageway. It puts sort of eyes and, activity into it. And then lastly, the one thing is we are working with artists, and we're incorporating art as part of the activation on the streetscape as sort of like a small kind of arts walk. One last thing I should just, because I don't think we're going to have another picture of this before or after. So on the rooftop, most of the amenities are on the rooftop. So as you can see, this is at the ground level. Do we have one more?
There's one, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Well, we can talk about that.
What was that? You said it's going to be an arts walk.
We're incorporating art within the streetscape, so the idea is that the art is, at ground level, and that will interact with the pedestrian.
Yeah, we're working with the art review panel on that, so we were before them, so it's just
two weeks ago.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago, and we'll be back before the art review panel in the end of May for a second time.
We've identified about four locations.
Are those seating areas along the sidewalk?
Correct.
Okay. But the trees that you show in the courtyards are on top of the parking garage.
They're on top of the
correct. And they're really private. They're
right.
Not public courtyards.
So the only two apartments or three apartments can go out into that space?
Yeah,
but they're only going to go out into their
balcony.
Patios. Yeah, the rest is sort of green, and we put the sitting area right there because it really borrows from that space. It is not public. We're not counting it for public or anything, but it was a nice place to sort of locate that node.
Primarily a visual amenity.
Mm-hmm. It is, exactly.
It gives you more perimeter for more apartments, let's be perfectly honest here.
Right. Yeah, and it's breaking up.
Otherwise, you wouldn't do it. I mean,
We're saying is that it's green.
Right.
Yeah. We're
but
not
but to that point, we, I mean... You know, we could have flip the building, I guess, and have the courtyards on the back. But we didn't necessarily want to do that because we thought that the visual, you know, cadence of these pavilions marching down Arlington Road, separated by these courtyards, was visually pleasing and helped kind of deconstruct the mass of that block. And also, you know, we do need it for stormwater. These are going to play huge roles in our sort of stormwater management, which is a huge priority for our region. So they're going to be active. I mean, not in the public sense or the human sense, but in sort of the, you know, ecological sense, they're going to be very active.
And that stoops along the southern river, right?
Well, so that was our intent, and this is something that we've now come across. We're working with DDOT. DOT does not want to have, these are actually in the right-of-way. The new right-of-ways in Bethesda are very wide now, so I think originally they were sort of back to the back of the tree pit area, but now they've extended all the way.
The right-of-way is the same as it was in the 94 plan.
In the 94 plan?
The right-of-way, it's the same, it's just that we cannot locate walls or...
stoops or private
stoops,
features
anything
in the public
that
right-of-way.
Is built up. Cannot be put in there. I mean, that would require a foundation.
So the sidewalk is.
Yeah. Well, this is. So a lot of the sort of the there's a little bit of conflict here, I believe, in between sort of the desired intentions of the Bethesda plan and sort of the practical applications of how it's going to happen. If this was public, like a restaurant or a shop, we would be able to have. Because Bethesda still has topography, right? I mean, there's God put hills there, right? So, I mean, but, you know, we can't, if it's for private use, we can't navigate the topography the same way as if it was for public use. So, unfortunately, this is sort of a recent development, so we will be removing these on Arlington Road.
So and you won't have entrances to units?
We cannot have entrances to units. Under the current configuration.
You can have entrances, but not. Yeah. Or is there a grade problem?
You can't have stoops in the right of way.
We cannot have stoops.
I understand that, but I thought on your previous one it showed that you had entrances.
Yeah, we did.
We did.
That was the goal, but there were stoops to access it, and that cannot be.
They're in the right of way, and we cannot put stoops in the right of way, as Elsa.
Yeah, so that came up at DRC just 2 weeks ago, and so we're just continuing to work through that kind of technical design aspect.
And there's no stoops on the backside.
There are
stoops back there.
Yeah. It's private. You can do that.
It's private. We can do that. Yeah, I mean, this is still like a 20...
have patios, and people will be out there, but you can't physically put the stoops.
We have, you know, essentially 20 to 22 feet, but it's, you know, the right-of-way goes...
The right-of-way goes all the way up to your building list?
Yeah.
Though you could push the building back and take the stoop area on the back and put it on the front, because you don't have a setback back there.
We don't have a setback, but we don't have... Well, we do. I mean, we have a fire... We have fire separation distance that we need to maintain, and we have
stormwater and things.
We have
like
a structural
that.
Grid that we have to sort of adhere to.
I'm not saying there weren't things, be things that were but you could. You had the space to do it.
I mean, theoretically, we have the space.
We can talk about that later.
Yeah, and these are some of the precedents for.
Right, so these are. The ideas for the streetscape. I mean, there is a precedent down the street. And actually here you could put walls and all of that, but that's not allowed anymore. For seating areas, we're thinking of having, we're proposing these small shade structures, which if the art comes in, we'll be working with them on that.
But this is a little bit more negotiable because this is public use.
Correct.
So the black line is the property line.
There's two, the property line, and this... These particular properties have had easements and dedications over the years as Arlington Road has widened. So it has sort of a little complicated history with sort of the property lines and right-of-ways.
And the gray transfers. The gray thing that looks like a wall that connects right there, What's that?
Yeah, that wall will disappear.
Oh, because that was...
It's in the right of way. It was just a small little sort of edge to clean it up, but it doesn't need to be there. The building will provide that.
What are the wood trellises going? Yeah, you see on the photograph over the spaces.
Yeah, over the little sitting areas. Yeah.
And then just quickly, I don't want to dwell on this too much, but this is just to run you through the plans. You know, we are, as Trini mentioned, our entrance and lobby leasing, et cetera, is on Moreland. We intend to wrap the corner to have sort of a public presence on the corner of Arlington. And the amenities would kind of go through the corner and then spill out into the small courtyard on the back. Our loading and our garage are on off of Moreland, sort of the only location that we could place them. And then as we go down, we have sort of a half a level of garage. And then again, the building does kind of reveal itself on the lower end where we can place units, and we're working in a small metro lobby. Bicycle lobby. The idea is if you're riding a bike, you come in here, you go to the elevator, and then you go down one level, and we have the G2 level has direct access to the bicycle storage, and we have all of our utilities sort of in that corner. Quickly, just again, the typical floor plan, you know, we have units wrapping the courtyards, getting more perimeter, and then units along the back, and, you know, it's pretty much a full plate of units every floor. The one concern that we did have and we addressed at the first level was because we go down and are effectively 67 feet on the low end, we have this appears as a seven-story building, even though we're only supposed to be 60 feet, which we are from the measure point on Moreland. We've worked with, you know, everyone, and we've set this back to create an effective penthouse sort of appearance on that seventh floor on the south end of the building. And then again, as Trini mentioned, we do have, you know, a heavy rooftop, you know, amenity. We are concrete. We're 1A construction in 60 feet. Obviously, to maximize sort of the value of the land, but also to provide, it's a quality building. You know, concrete and masonry construction, and we're able to put a roof.
Right, this allows us to do quite a bit of planting, so we're putting a lot of green, and it's not just green roof, but we can do
intensive,
you know, large plants we're mounting, and then the amenities are actually, as you can see here, concentrated just at the edge, kind of activating that front edge. We're buffering with green sort of the neighboring properties, and then the pool is sort of in the central area, which is a little bit elevated, so the pool is on top of the structure. You ramp up to that. And we have sort of three small sort of nodes of activity in the rooftop.
But again, I think one of the big priorities is to, you know, we do have mechanical equipment, and we are mounding up, and we'll have sort of intense vegetation on the roof with buffers,
yeah.
Visual as, acting as visual buffers, yeah. To the, and these are some
images. There's some images of sort of what we're seeing.
And then just to kind of go back, we'll kind of fly around the building. You know, again, the idea of the architecture was to really create a handsome, neighborhood-friendly edifice, and sort of a contextual. That sort of transitions you from the residential neighborhoods west of downtown and invites you and brings you in. This is, you know, we do admit this is a long building, but we're trying to break it up as best we can to really identifiable pieces along Arlington Road, so it doesn't feel, you know, it doesn't feel overwhelming. 60 feet is a very, very pleasant scale. We think it's going to be a handsome facade on the park. This is the corner of Arlington and Moreland. These are our residential lobbies. We are going to have a two-story residential lobby at the middle, and then this will kind of spill out to the corner, and we'll have leasing, and it'll have a very, you know, interesting interior space and a nice, warm, friendly environment. As far as the texture and the materials, we're looking at nice, warm red brick here. We have a lot of patterning and detailing around our punched openings. We do have balconies. We imagine this, the pavilions, I keep calling them the three pavilions on Arlington, you know, active corners with people hanging out. A lot of texture. We're looking at several different metal panel types. One sort of a wider flange with nice deep recesses and sort of to break up sort of the pavilions or the masonry pieces. And then sort of the crown is more of a larger lap metal. That'll, you'll get these different grains, different textures. We'll do something interesting at the garage door and the loading bay, you know, the necessary things that we have to have, you know, glass canopy. And then again, you know, the building, it's sort of high right here in the middle, and it gently slopes down to the corner, and then it slopes again about 7 feet down Arlington Road. You barely notice it, but you know, it will provide an opportunity for really nice landscape. I mean, we are pretty wide; we're 20 to 22 feet, the varying widths at the sidewalk. So this will be a really, really wonderful streetscape experience. This is sort of the length of the Arlington facade. The three pavilions, like I said, the nice, they're not huge courtyards, but they're very intimate. And I think they do provide a lot of relief. They're going to provide a lot of relief on this facade. And in addition to that, we've really tried to adhere to the design guidelines in as far as, creating lots of different planes, lots of layers, lots of texture in the facade. So between the different metal panels, the different brick patterning, and then the depth of the facade, the glass base projecting, the deep recesses, there's going to be a quite amount of shadow play on the facade, and then the courtyard to even add to that. And then the differentiation between, I know this was sort of an issue, and I think, you know, we had presented earlier our SketchUp model that we've been building and working with and designing with. And the, you know, there's a sort of a cartoonish aspect of that, but when you do translate that into renderings, I think the brick color really kind of starts shining through when you differentiate the facades. It has to be a very buildable palette. We're not trying to do anything outrageous, but we're trying to add depth and texture and layering within sort of identifiable, you know, materials. This is the idea of the, you know, this is the image of the building coming downhill. This is Edgemoor. This is a much smaller scale building, and it reads as a six-story with sort of a recessed penthouse. We have a dark gray top that's set back. We're looking at two different, you know, a similar brick, but one's sort of smooth and one's, textured, to create sort of, again, texture, layering, patterning within the facade. And then again, we really like the cadence of these bays. And this is there's a lot of depth. These are 4-foot projections. So there's a lot of depth, and there's going to be a lot of shadow play on this facade as well. You know, we'll still have the higher windows on the lower level, even though the stoops will be going away. But having a 20 to 22 foot zone there will add a lot of separation from the sidewalk.
So those are units.
Yeah, they are residential units on the lower level. We'll have a postage stamp lobby on the south end for pedestrians to go to Metro, pedestrians to walk down to Bethesda Row, and for bicycles to come in and out. This is turning the corner on Edgemoor. This is in front of the Edgemont. This is sort of an existing conditions image, and as you'll probably learn quickly in the next couple of weeks, how this is going to be transformed into a residential. I believe these kind of teaser spaces are going away, and this is going to be greened up here in the near future too. So this is going to actually be quite a nice experience, and sort of almost like a public room on Edgemoor.
Who's designing
that? Working on that as well.
And then we've been very cognizant of our neighbors to the east, the Christopher Condominium. We've been working with them,
right there.
And you know, we wanted to present to them. This is the face of our building on their drop off. There's a property easement. Zom actually owns some of the property in this drop off circle, but it's going to be there's an easement back to the condominium. But this is the facade on the circle. And we think it's going to present a nice, you know, again, handsome enclosure for their private drop-off. And again, I guess getting back to some of the comments from the original conversation that we had several months ago, was this transition between the two buildings. And we worked with staff quite a bit over the last several months, really trying to understand, you know, what the implications were. And I guess there were two stories that could have driven the conversation. One was potentially breaking through the building, or maybe splitting the building. In this case, through. But we did. We went back there. We took a lot of photos of our adjacent property. It's a very tight space back there, and there's grade change. It's really. It's not. It's not a place. There's no place to go to if you actually went through the building. We do have that little private walk back there, but it's not a public room. It's not like some of the other public spaces that you would imagine to go to. So in all our conversations, we really want to keep people on the sidewalk. That's the big opportunity here, is really completing the block and having, you know, everything sort of internal is for the Christopher, for the Edgemont, for Zom. We are providing sort of a meandering path, but it's not necessarily public. We could leave it open, but we could also kind of close it down because all the other ones are closed down. But it's really put everybody on the sidewalk. And bringing someone through here, it was just such a burden on the building, both internally, functionally, spatially, not to mention that we're about 3 feet higher here, so we're kind of entering. If we did kind of go through, it would be at a mid-block. And I guess what I was taking it a little bit more subtle understanding is that, you know, as at the top, with some of the different masonry details, that we needed to have these buildings kind of come together in sort of a gentle kind of urbanistic way, where we would need to carefully detail how the bricks kind of intersect with one another. So I was reading it as a much more subtle thing, as, you know, you see this all over town, downtown, you know, even in Bethesda, there are buildings that come together, and just doing a nice kind of simple brick transition detail there. Again, this is actually, it's hard to read here, but that's actually a 2-foot setback right there, and then this bay projects another 4 feet. So there's a lot of movement. So I guess what I was trying to get to is that we've studied it with staff. We've looked at, you know, potentially putting a pass through, and it was really challenging from an architectural standpoint and a topography standpoint, and that it doesn't go anywhere. And then thinking of it in more of a modern way, if there was a hyphen between the two buildings. And we do hyphens, we appreciate hyphens, and we understand what they do. A lot of times, and we have backup kind of, we've done a lot of studies, and we have that at the end of this presentation if we need to get into it. But when you do a hyphen, generally speaking, you're on the property line, and you tend to break up long facades with sort of these subtle hyphens that just differentiate sort of bigger planes. In this case, I think because we have so much articulation, we have a lot of ins and outs, a lot of shadow play. We are recessing the building off of the property line an additional 4 feet to create this rhythm and this cadence. And that there's really, when we started adding in these hyphens, it looked kind of confused. Like, does it belong to this one? Does it belong to that one? And then we did it as sort of an individual move, and it looked very powerful, but it was like, what's back there? It's just a unit. There's nothing. Usually when you do something like that, you want it to mean something. And there was really no meaning for it. So it looked sort of forced and contrived. So we did understand it, the comment, and we took it very seriously, but it just wasn't necessarily working for the building. And so we went with the more kind of subtle approach. And again, we kind of extracted these images to illustrate how much shadow play, how much plane changes. And when you're on a pedestrian level, it'll just feel natural. It'll feel comfortable. It'll feel, you know, between the brick wall, you know, nice wall and the nice landscape. It's going to be a lovely place to walk. And as Trini mentioned, you know, we'll have a lot of kids and families. And now with our public art that we're proposing out here, we think it's really that's the real public good of this building, the sort of the enhanced pedestrian realm that we're creating here for, you know, literally half a city block between the two projects. And I wanted to just kind of touch base on some of the materials just to reinforce some of the textures and the things that we're doing. You know, the north building was really is a red brick building, you know, very familiar, you know, material in this area. We do want to dial up some of the detailing, you know, with sort of this checkerboard maybe with custom bricks in the brick panels, the spandrel panels, showing the different type of metal panel exposures that we're thinking about, sort of this wide thin, with deep reveals on sort of the interstitial pieces, and then the crown is sort of a wide panel. And then glass bays, obviously, bay windows are very residential to give people views up and down Arlington Road. This is the project we did right around the corner, Lot 31. And then the south building, we're looking at, again, sort of like two types of cream brick. This will have wonderful light and shadow, and it'll change colors over the course of the day, with sort of a different textures, smooth and a wire cut, and then a gray top. And then some of the brick patterning that we're putting into the spandrel panels, you know, taking a vertical piece, running it, kind of ribbing it, to create, again, a nice grain and texture on those panels. And I think, you know, I just really wanted to kind of, we went through a lot of studies, we really worked with staff. You know, the main intent of the downtown Bethesda plan is to create a street wall. And I think, you know, at 60 feet, we're, you know, embracing that wholeheartedly to create a textured, vibrant, active street wall with lots of plane changes, textural materials. I think as far as, one of the big concerns is the overall length, but between, you know, the red building reads as a 250-foot building. The yellow building reads as a 154-foot building. You know, we're very much in scale. The office building to the north is 230. The Christopher's 160. The Edgemont's 160. The office buildings are 200, 170. You know, we're Lionsgate's 280. I mean, these are very long buildings in the neighborhood. The Metro building, or the... I can't remember the name, but it's 415 feet. Metropolitan's 415 feet long, so it's a very long building, but it, you know, it's broken up with the stepping. So I think, you know, we're not outrageous, I think, in our lengths, and the courtyards really do break up the sort of our longer facade, and our short facade's only 150 feet. So, and then kind of within that, when you combine that last pavilion with the yellow building on the south, it is 210 feet, but with the amount of articulation that we're showing on that facade, it's not going to feel sort of overwhelming and overpowering as a long, flat, banal facade. We have depth, texture, character. So,
and I think we probably, maybe we could open it up to kind of an iterative discussion now. Okay. Yeah.
Great. So, if we could just have brief comments from the public, we.
I have some questions and maybe some comments. Are the courtyards at street level, or are they raised?
They're raised slightly.
They're raised. So are they open to the public?
No, they're not.
And how wide is the actual sidewalk portion that people would walk on along?
6 feet.
6 feet? I walk a lot. And while I like the height of this building and I find the facade interesting, in the drawings, this is not something that I would find inviting to walk along. The lack of detail, the lack of anything interesting to look at, is problematic. And I think the 6-foot sidewalk, when you don't have any real activation there, is not going to draw people. I guess I'm disappointed in that part of it in terms of what it provides for the public. Now, you talk about an art walk, and I don't know if you mean that here or in other points, but actually the walkway on the back of the building looks more interesting as a pedestrian than walking along here. So that's one comment.
Is that a comment based on the width, or is that a comment just on other additional interest?
It's based on the fact that everything is residential along there, that the courtyards are not public, that the sidewalk is only 6 feet wide. The activity from the school is only in the morning and the afternoon. So,
I don't think you're going to get retail there. But
yeah.
So if you can't get retail, then what, you know, what else could you do to potentially make it better?
Well, that's why I asked about the art walk, because yeah. something like that would make it.
I think that would help, clearly, yeah. So, I mean, I'm asking if you're suggesting that it should be a wider sidewalk or not.
And is the sidewalk 6 feet of pavement, or that's including the landscape strip?
No, it's just the pavement.
It is
consistent with the rest of the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm. Along Arlington.
Actually, it's wider than the rest of the sidewalk along Arlington. So, I mean, it kind of balances of not being, you know, you're going from sidewalk that is like this to a sidewalk. And what it does, the goal, I mean, and your points are well taken, but this was always intended to be a residential edge, you know, across from the school. I think, you know, some of the images in the SketchUp models, what happens is they're very cold and they're not illustrated properly, so... but, I mean, I think we work with staff to sort of create a good sort of layering for the streetscape. Right now, currently, if you walk there, you know that the sidewalk is right. It's horrible. So we're putting green, and we actually made the green continuous instead of the normal tree pits to provide a little bit of buffer to the traffic, because that traffic there moves a little bit faster than other parts of Bethesda. So then there is a sidewalk, and then there is green. With those two nodes to sit, you know, with a trellis element. And then the layer that we're adding, which is why I mentioned it, is this art component. So we have identified four locations for art, and we're working with two artists currently that will have four pieces. Well, we don't know exactly how many pieces. That's some people working with the art panel and the artist along the... along the walk, and the idea for those pieces were to actually kind of engage the public. So we're thinking of something that could have, you know, something the kids could interact with. You know, one of the artists works with geometries, so that was one of the thoughts, and that's being developed.
That would help.
Yeah.
What's your own center spacing of the trees?
30 feet.
30 feet. What kind of trees?
These are. You got me. I don't remember what these are right this second. I'll have to find.
But essentially, this is a sidewalk that goes from nowhere to nowhere. Nobody's going to be on, right?
No.
Because you have no stoops, and you're not on the way to the metro. When you leave to go to the metro from the apartment buildings, you're either going out and up, or you're going out and up. So who's walking on this street?
Oh, and a lot of people go to the library.
I walk on this quite often. Yeah. You walk into the Woodmore Triangle area, if you're walking to the farmer's market.
To the library, to the store.
You might be walking across the street. In other words, there's two places to cross.
Yeah. Across the street is not a very
pleasant...
No,
it's not very pleasant.
It's
not pleasant at all.
This would be... a really good alternate, and a lot of people use it, actually, because people go to the library, to the stores, to the supermarket, to Bethesda Row.
Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I was just thinking that there are no entrances along here, and this is 400 feet of essentially apartments, mm-hmm. and we've lost the stoops, you know, for some ridiculous reason, you know, the traffic engineers are going to tear down all these trees in order to be able to widen Arlington? I don't think so, right?
Well,
so
and that was weird.
They
didn't want to put the lobby on Arlington.
I know, we're forced to deal with, you know, a street.
If I could just comment on the right-of-way real quickly. The right-of-way is not always just for the street. It's for the sidewalk. It's for the street trees. So it's designed in a way that supports that right-of-way width. The issue is having private encroachments within the public space, and that's retaining walls, steps, that are for public or for private use within the public space.
Right.
That's
an issue.
I
understand that, but that, you know, that can be overcome, it would seem to me, because that activates the street, you know, with entrances all along that southern building. And we've lost that because of this technicality.
It's really private use within the public right-of-way. It's not appropriate.
Right. I understand that. as a design issue, Carl, that's new. So I think,
yeah,
you know, and especially with those stoops going away and only having a postage stamp, where's the front door for the building?
Exactly.
It has a different articulation, but where's the house?
Yeah. Well, I'm disappointed that has gone away. I understand the legalities of it, but I don't appreciate the urban designs.
But I think it's fair to say it hasn't actually gone away, right? I mean, because we're here to talk about that having stoops and entrances on that street are essential for its successful urban design. So
exactly.
I think there's still an opportunity to retain this.
Right. And then,
good. Ow.
And then the landscape on the other side, there doesn't seem to be any landscape on that, on the side toward, you know, on Edgemont.
Oh.
No trees back there. And so somebody said that they would rather walk back there where there are actually no trees. And if you bring up that elevation, you can mm-hmm. see how barren that elevation is.
Oh, yeah, I think
when you're looking
in here, you mean?
No,
we're here.
Oh, yeah.
Right now.
Yeah.
Well, I think what you'll see.
Well, bring up that elevation and we can look at that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think you are correct, sort of right in here. But I'll give you guys a heads up. As this project gets redeveloped, these parking spaces and this lay-by will go away. And this is going to be landscape.
And I read in the narrative that you guys are actively working with that neighbor to create something.
Yeah. Because we have, you know, obviously a shared property back here. This is their, you know, obviously pool deck. There's a pavilion here. There's a pool house here. And then
trees along that edge.
There are trees on this edge. And this is on their roof as well. And then back here, they do have some mechanical equipment, which is why if we kind of came through here, this is really no... I mean, it's a great for just kind of walking and meandering, but it's no public. It's not like a public space. And this is kind of what we had, why we originally wanted to make this a public space, but we're sort of steered away from that because of sort of the conditions back
there. Yeah, and when he says public space, so it will be open to the public. It's just not quote-unquote public use space.
Yeah,
just to be clear, it is open to the public. It's just not like a proper noun public use space
exactly.
Under the zoning ordinance terms. Yeah.
And to go back to the public art real quick, I know I keep going back to this, but I think it's important, the streetscape. So I know you don't have all the details worked out yet, but you're not thinking just one piece of art, so multiple pieces along the whole side.
Yes,
right,
we're working with two Bethesda-based artists, and you know, we're between two to four pieces is where we're going to shake out. We're looking, there's currently plaques that surround the northern six parcels that have old photographs of historic Bethesda, so we've given those to the artist as inspiration. I don't think we're going to be able to recreate. Well, those plaques will inspire them. We'll see what they come up with. But that was the idea. And again, as Trini said, it's something to engage the community and sort of activate the site is what we've tasked them with.
Scale.
Exactly. Well, what is some of the off-site public improvements you're making in the project?
We're actually making a contribution.
It's a contribution. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because we're not allowed to count any of that pedestrian passageway is, as I said, quote-unquote public use space. We'll be doing a 10% off-site public use space contribution.
And then what were some of the neighbors' concerns that you had resolved since the last time I saw you guys?
So we had been in discussions with the Christopher Condominium. There's a lot of history there, but there were various cross easements in place and whatnot. So I think I think primarily we're concerned just that things were changing. You know, we were able to work those things out. We actually had been in litigation that was settled. So I think they're very supportive of the project now.
If you don't mind, can we go to the rendering of Edgemoor and Arlington?
Right.
Yeah, that one.
Mm-hmm.
First off, let me just say, I think this building, I think, will make a substantial improvement to the environment around it. I personally think the walkway along Arlington is going to be a great walk. I think if you make the sidewalk wider, which is what I think Dave is talking about, you'll take away landscaping, and I think the landscaping is going to be really nice. I assume it's going to be maintained by the ownership of the apartment building, and it will look. I think overall that I think the building is coming along really nicely, but it's kind of interesting if you look at this elevation or this perspective, It's almost as if there's a price point difference between the quality of the units on the southern side versus the northern side. And I assume it's all the same, isn't it? It's all the same price point.
Yes.
You know, you feel like it's a little bit... they're getting a little cheated on this end of the building. I did go back and look at your renderings from November, and again, this is more personal preference, but I think some of the detailing, particularly on this corner right here, which is more glass than the punched opening, was a bit more of our time and not, say, of an era gone by. And was more successful as a result. I think the other developments, I think, could come along really nicely, but it's just, it feels a little undeveloped compared to the rest of the building.
Yeah, I think unfortunately the way the render, I'm still kind of tweaking the renderings, but the some of the texturing of the panels has gone away.
Yeah, it's very flat in the rendering.
And there's actually
it's
a bit
also
of
very
that.
Heavy. I mean, even if you polish the renderings up, and actually between getting the packet now and the old packet, I looked at the two renderings of the scent, and I honestly think you're more successful back in November than you are right now.
On this corner. Can you switch to the other side? The other one that I'm worried about? That one.
Yeah, and I think
this is unfortunate, isn't it? Until that is developed out and made, you know, into a green space, etc. But there's no depth in order to put any kind of landscaping along your property. You know, this walkway.
The one, yeah.
Yeah, along the walkway, because that's very, very narrow. So it just exposes that. It's a different building. I mean, it's a completely different building on this side than it is on Arlington.
Yeah.
It's almost as if it's a converted great warehouse or something.
Hopefully, I think...
It's kind of nice. I kind of like the building, but I don't like the landscaping, you know, attitude of that passageway.
And I think the current conditions, and there are actually trees here, but we removed them so you can see more of the building. But I think... And this photograph was taken, you know, weeks ago before everything was blooming. But I think luckily this is going to be concurrent, hopefully. I mean, like in all likelihood, they'll
well,
have
one
a very...
thing is your render did not put any trees on the walkway. Because
right.
There are trees on, we have bioretention areas and we're planting trees.
Can we go to
them.
The landscape plan
yeah,
view
yeah,
to show
that?
That
doesn't show up on your landscape. Yeah,
that's
right.
A question I wanted to ask. Talk about the stormwater management you're
right, we have to put it there, so we're depressing the. Yeah, so we're depressing the garage in order to create landscaping here, and actually there's supposed to be trees in here, but in all of the bioretention areas we have trees.
Is
well.
It bioretention all around here?
No, no, only in the back.
Mm-hmm.
Only in the back. And the rear is overstructure. All of the frontage is in ground, so we don't need. We're not overstructured, except for the courtyard, of course. Yeah.
And there are pockets here that are on structure,
right
between the bays.
So the parking garage goes all the way out, almost to the property line.
It does. Yeah.
Yeah. There's still some.
So that does preclude large trees.
Well, they're depressing. We're depressing this lab by 4 feet.
Okay.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
we're able to
depression.
Yeah, these are going to be pretty robust. I think we're going to have.
Yeah, and the ones in the rear,
in
especially because we're putting all of that water there.
Yeah,
putting all the water. Where?
All of the water in those bioretention areas.
On the garage.
I mean,
in the back.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that in the courtyards along Arlington, there's also stormwater management.
No, not in here.
No, but there's enough depth to support, you know,
the trees. Yeah.
Same kind of 4 feet or 5 feet.
Yeah. We can go up a little too.
We're actually mounting on those because we don't have, except for the patios, which we're enclosing, we're mounting in there to get the soil. We're not depressing as much there.
Not as much, but it's
back there.
It's down and up. It's a combination.
What's the elevation of the courtyard compared to the street?
It is 1.5 to 2 feet here is 2.5 to 3.5.
So they level with the residential units,
correct?
Because of the grades are descending.
Correct.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Lots of shorts.
I think you can see it here, and this is a little bit more maybe exaggerated, but
yeah, it is.
Well, that wall comes up too. So
right. Oh, yeah, it's not like that though.
Yeah.
But some of those walls have gone away because of this right of way issue, right?
Yeah. Correct. Yeah. So what's happening is this small little wall will be pushed back. To the building, so the building is basically revealing itself, you know, exposing itself. We had more of a layered, stepped up, but we can't do that.
So when the two buildings transitioned for the brick one, darker brick one, what's the lower level that has solid wall? Because it seems, on a perspective, it seems high. It's like 8 feet tall, 9 feet tall. Would that be too overwhelming for pedestrians? Are we moving up the stones?
So the idea is that you'll still keep like a, you know, patio recess area there. It's just that you know, and it'll be open, but you cannot physically walk down because we cannot put the steps in the right of way.
Correct. But if you see one of the renderings,
yeah,
do you want to go to maybe from another view, walking this way, from the south and looking to the north? Yeah. Is that...
So these are all units.
Right,
but
when you transition to the brick will be solid on the bottom.
Right here.
Would that be too overwhelming on pedestrian scale if by removing the stones? Because it's all solid.
Yeah. I don't know why it's that high. Because it should be only like... It should only be like 5 feet.
Because
we're going down and down.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's half of a level. And then you have the unit.
I think if it's 5-6 feet, it's...
Yeah,
scale.
I think that's what it is. Yeah,
it will be very tall.
Yeah, and we can look at, you know, extending them, putting larger windows, maybe dropping the sill down to the
floor.
That
would be good.
Too.
Yeah, that's a good suggestion.
How come did you decide not to have any balconies on the south wall?
Again, this kind of comes back to the right of way issue. So in
you
order to
have recesses,
and sort of where we wanted to put the bays. To create the cadence on this facade, and that this goes up to the right of way, the bays do. So in order to add on to that, we either have the bay or the balcony. It's sort of the trade off.
You can also recess the balcony.
The north building is just, I've always thought it was terrific. Mm-hmm. Yeah, with the courtyards and things like that. And the way it's built, the south building, I mean, I really like the two colors of brick, two textures, I think, will work there as well. I kind of agree with some of the comments I heard earlier that, you know, the solidity of the corners, maybe even the solidity of the recesses between the bays, might have been softened a little bit more with more glass and more it's purely an opinion, but. I think the corner, which is very prominent when you're going up Arlington Boulevard, had the potential for an interesting event architecturally, and it's kind of a non-event at this point.
What's the November? If you look at
the old one.
Look, I was the one that was advocating the passageway. This is two buildings. Let's be perfectly honest, right? And the only reason that we're slamming it together is to say one elevator and one fire stair.
That's more than
almost,
that.
Almost.
More than
and
that.
So the point is that I think making them so distinctively different is really doing you a disfavor rather than highlighting it. Personally, I think there should be two buildings on the site. Actually, I would have thought two or three buildings as opposed to just one building taking over 400 feet of length. But since we can't take a passageway through or make two freestanding buildings because of, I guess, economics, that I would advocate what my colleague has said, that we go to a more sympathetic reading between the two buildings as opposed to a distinctly different architectural style and character.
I think that given this length, having done a number of buildings like this in Alexandria, you do need
distinction. Maybe you believe the distinction's a little too great at this moment, but to have that entire length read as one unified building.
Well, then you should make two buildings. You know, but, let's,
well,
yeah,
I think
be perfectly honest.
It doesn't have to be functional. That has nothing to do with the urban design aspect.
Urban design. Yeah.
Well, I think you know it's
over 400 feet. A New York City block is 200. Can you imagine a block of over 400 feet of building with absolutely no entrances, etc., no breaks?
I mean, we're suffering from the sins of the past here. I think to a certain extent because you know originally there was a road that went through here at one point in time, but that was closed decades and decades ago. So I mean, we are sort of suffering from that mistake. But there's really nothing we can do about it at this point. I mean, yeah, this is a large block, and it could have been ventilated by, and then those would be natural, either if it was an alley or if it was. But
right.
that's sort of the ideal, I would say. But this is sort of the circumstantial.
No, I understand
you know,
it's against it. My point is that there should be porosity here. This is a super block that had, and other places in Bethesda were advocating through block connections, and it would seem to me that in the urban design guidelines, there should have been a through block connection on this particular block. And it should have been reinforced. And so you are up against it because you've got a developer who wants to build one apartment building and doesn't want to build two apartment buildings.
I would.
And that's what you've done.
I can go. I mean, just to, you know, we've this is one of the key pieces that we've kind of discussed here. These are sort of the, and we didn't share with these with you all. We've shared these with staff. But these are some of the existing site photographs.
No, I understand.
I mean, this is the if this was a through block sort of a, I mean, I think when you go to Google Earth and you look at the figure ground, mm-hmm. you see this 30 some feet between the Christopher and the Edgemont, but this is the condition back there. There's really nothing.
Two spot elevations.
Yeah, two spot elevations. There's nothing.
We've solved that in all kinds of cities. We can't just blindly say because there are two different levels. You know, we can't do it. I mean, in other places in Bethesda, we are advocating through block connections, etc., where there's phenomenal topography to deal with. I'm thinking down there on Montgomery Avenue, right?
And
the
I think
project that we looked at.
You know, I think the sector plan did address locations where they want to see through block connections, and that wasn't put in the sector plan. So, you know, given that we're at site plan at this point, and we have an approved sketch plan, which you know generally set out the massing and the building envelope. You know, I think maybe the discussion might be a bit more productive if we talk about how we transition that north-south and what folks want to see rather than kind of talking about at this point in the game breaking up the building. So,
yeah. But I think, you know, I mean, we did look at it, and you have, you know, essentially, you know, three property owners at this point with their own interests and you know, this is really no public space back here.
Is this a conversation that came up at the planning board at the sketch plan?
No, not at all. I mean, we did hear from you all at the first DAP meeting that you wanted to see, you know, more of a differentiation between the north and south portions. And I think, Mr. Dupuy, you had mentioned, you know, whether we could look at a mid-block crossing. But the planning board was very supportive of the design that we came out of the DAP with at sketch plan. So again, as we kind of move forward to the site plan phase at this point, we did look at that north-south transition, and I think that would be where the comments from the DAP and from staff and everybody else here would be most helpful in terms of how can we best express that, because this issue just really, in terms of cutting through the building, wasn't something that was raised at planning board at all, and it's not something that's in our sketch plan either.
So, Carl, when you talked about a more sympathetic treatment between the two buildings, do you or the panel have thoughts on what that might look like?
Right here.
And I just wanted that to be on the record that the what you were showing at sketch plan had a much more sympathetic relationship between the two buildings, and that might be something to look at.
Well, I don't know whether it's necessarily a sympathetic relationship. I think the comment that George made about you know driving north on Arlington Road and seeing that corner versus seeing this corner, it's much more engaging. It's much more interesting massing, much more interesting articulation.
Yeah, we're not advocating the color. We're advocating the openness and the treatment of the bays to be more sympathetic to the bays of your north
gate. I mean, some of the driving factors were sort of, you know, sort of that constructability economics and kind of having similar detailing as far as the window sill heights, et cetera, which drove some of the similarities. We did have sort of larger windows previously.
Yeah.
But we've adjusted the bays, and the idea is really having this kind of this step down. So we have this essentially, this five-story reading with a six-story setback, and then that sort of recessed penthouse. So that it has that cascading effect,
nice.
which the neighbors really appreciated. So in all of our community meetings,
I think that works. But the interesting thing about this elevation, when is that, November?
It's about on a glass.
So November is that, on the red brick building, you have the glass essentially projecting.
Yeah.
And on the yellow building, you sort of had the glass
recessed.
And it might be interesting just to get a little bit more of that recessed glass piece, because I think what you just said is correct. I think that terracing is nice, but it could be that it's, sort of something in the breaks between the bays.
That's what I was talking about.
Yeah, where you could have a little bit more of that glass. So it's sort of almost an opposite reading of the other building.
Yeah, sure.
I think the massing of this, the way the bays are working, is actually excellent. I think it came a long way. And I think maybe I'm on the same wavelength as you guys or not. I mean, to me, I'm just thinking that 4 foot back plane might be differentiated a little bit differently and would probably enhance the whole experience of the building. In other words, you've got a very complex building on the north side. This one is form wise is complex, materiality wise it's very simplistic. You have still an opportunity without changing the building, but just taking that second plane back and using it as a foil that emphasizes the projections and makes the solidity of them a little stronger.
As
always, an unsolicited opinion.
No, and I wish that I'm still working, unfortunately, with the renderers. Sometimes it's difficult to hit the right color combination. And especially when you're talking about something subtle like what we're talking about.
And I think that subtlety is going to work very well. I'm very excited about that materiality aspect of it.
Yeah.
It's funny how much better this looks in the last than it does in this view, which is obviously
a
rendering perception.
It is, the color's washed out a bit on this one. I think
overall, I'm very happy with the Arlington pedestrian experience as you've done it. I if there is a way to appeal a decision on the access to the units in public space, I would urge Rob to do that.
Yeah, I think Elza just said to us that we should continue working through that issue. And so we very much want those stoops, and I think we're unfortunately kind of getting hit by a new policy in the county, which I think everyone was a bit surprised by. So we're going to keep pushing on that.
I mean, if it would help for us to
recommend.
Urge that.
Please urge.
I think it's a dimension.
We welcome your urging.
I think we have the dimension here that you would see in Arlington and Washington and
every other jurisdiction welcomes this.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Every other one does.
Yeah.
We fully support that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the dimensions
that
are.
Helps,
I
think,
even if we have to sign like a maintenance agreement or something that says, they go out, we have to put them back in, but that's okay.
And that's how it had previously been handled. So.
Exactly.
By the way, that can be done easily.
I know, but that's the provision that has been taken away. So if we could reinstate that we can, we would be on the hook for putting it back if it has to be removed. Because it's really not very complicated. I mean, it's literally just three steps down and a handrail, and a little bit of a retaining wall, which is not a big deal because we're talking about literally, it's like, up to, I think, 2 feet and 1.5 feet. I mean, it's that simple, and that small, but...
We'll work with the other folks in the county to see if there's some way to...
Yeah,
we appreciate it.
I think this panel can advocate that. Mm-hmm. So, definitely.
We would appreciate that,
Definitely for that.
I think it's going to be a very nice addition.
Without a doubt, an improvement over the existing
Yeah. But I think the whole project just came along very nice.
Thanks.
So I'm going to try to summarize just to make sure we have clear direction here. The last issue was that staff is going to work with the team and other county agencies to try to emphasize the stoop and entry issue and try to still get the entry along Arlington Road. Also, the major issue about the transition between the north and south building, it sounds like folks want a more engaging corner, and they want to advocate more openness and a treatment of the bays more similar to the north building, not necessarily a similar color. And before, the red building had projecting glass and then recessed glass on the southern portion, and so now we want to see that again. We want to see that emphasis on the recess versus the projecting on the north. We also have, I think those were the major recommendations because we talked about stoops earlier.
I'm not sure if you want similar. Earlier comment about the bays.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. You don't want a similar treatment of bays.
Well, I think that they're. That's not exactly the comment.
That's not what I heard.
I think what I heard is that on the red brick building, the bays are glassy and the setback areas are more masonry. And you're suggesting on the yellow brick building doing a reverse of that, where the bays sort of look like they look now, but the setback areas are glassier.
Thank you.
Yep.
And this it's the top drawing on the AO7. Top left on.
From the November?
Yeah, from November.
Okay.
Or I also heard a concern looking westward. Is there on Edgemont, I believe that is, from the back of the building?
Mm-hmm.
That image, I seem to understand.
So I've heard from this that. That you were concerned about the landscaping, but not necessarily the building.
Well, that's what Carl said.
What was the concern here?
Landscaping. Right.
Just to emphasize that they.
But that it just wasn't shown in the. It's just
right.
not shown
the
in
the. The landscaping right there, property, or the landscaping right here on edge.
I think it's both.
But that's all coming.
What I heard Carl say was that it looks like a different building.
That's right.
Right.
And so, I mean, I think there are things that could be done in a relatively shallow space to the sort of larger facade to make it look less like an adaptive reuse of a warehouse and more like part of the corner piece.
But do you mind that? Before you were saying you were okay with that.
No, I think it should be two buildings. I want to make that perfectly clear.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's two buildings, I have no problem with the idea of an adaptive reuse of a great warehouse building, etc., with large windows, etc. There seems to be a disconnect between that rear elevation and the Arlington Road elevation. And I think that's fair. It's almost as if all the affordable housing is going to be on this side and all the high-end apartments are going to be on Arlington or something, maybe, so it seems to me that rear elevation, has to be attended to in the same way that Arlington Road is.
Although I would argue that a building has to have a front and a back. It makes sense for the front of the building to have more articulation and more detailing. This is the back of the building that, yes, you do see the back because the lot next to it hasn't been fully built.
So therefore
out
it's
again.
A front.
But I think that the simplification is not inappropriate, but I think maybe the problem is that the one block of it seems, you have the front in bays, and you have the back section as sort of one giant block, and that, I think, may be what everyone is reacting to a little bit, that, I think the detailing should be simpler. But maybe that block along the back should be broken up a little bit more.
So,
I don't like the idea that this is a back. This should not be a back because it's a front of anybody walking down the street. So I wouldn't call it a back. I mean, I personally like the idea of an adaptive reuse of a warehouse, etc. I'm saying that it doesn't square with the Arlington Road in terms of its architecture.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a modulation here that if you were to follow through with our thought on the recessed planes on Arlington Boulevard, yeah, something different. You've got one recessed plane which could clearly reflect that, and you've got two more narrow bays that could also reflect that, and that might solve the whole issue all the way around.
As well,
if you were to go that direction.
As well as you got the corner tip.
That's all part of it.
Yeah, right.
Expression of the modulation of those bays a little bit more.
Not my money.
Yeah, because you go two big windows, one small, two big, one small, etc. So you have those obvious places where you can push and pull a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it could be metal panels, it could be glass, it could be a bunch of things.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So there's a disconnect between the rear elevation and the Arlington Road elevation. The rear elevation should be attended to in the same way as the Arlington Road elevation. It shouldn't be a back of the building. There should be more recessed bays, or at least an expression of modulation similar to what we're expecting on the
ground. It's similar rather than same.
It's more like material.
Okay, like a material change to reflect what's happening on the front. Okay. All right. Does everyone feel like there's clear guidance for staff?
Well, I would put on the note that this panel is all in favor of the stoops.
Yes, I have.
You got that on there. Good, good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are there any other comments before we wrap up? All right. Well, thank you all.